Well, I wanted to kind of wrap up our sermon series that we've been in for the last few weeks, and I wanted to kind of close with this sort of this theme, because we've spent the last 4 weeks talking about kind of misunderstandings or ways that the devil can kind of come in and mess with the way we think about God and our salvation and mess with our relationship with him so that we're not maybe having abundant life like we should. And the lingering question after going through those things is, how do you make that happen? What if you need to make a change in your life and you're maybe struggling with those changes, but then, you know, what's the process? How does that change happen so that we can get to that point of putting those things that we've learned into practice? That is kind of the perpetual question. When people come in and want to talk to the pastor, they usually have questions about changes they want to make. Either it's a spiritual change or a change about a relationship or a change in their choices in life. And those are kind of the big questions that people have. How do we make the changes that we need to do what God wants us to do and live the kind of life God wants us to live? So let me talk first about things we should probably accept about ourselves and not be worried about making changes. So let's start with what to be accepting of ourselves about. One thing we need to probably be accepting of ourselves about is our personality. We each kind of have a way that we kind of live, our personality. Some of us are very outgoing. Some of us are going to be bashful. Some of us are going to be very logical and want to see the facts, and others of us are going to be very maybe emotional or feelings-oriented. There's ways that we are kind of wired ourselves, and it would be a good idea for us to be accepting of our personality and not try to be too engrossed about changing that and adjusting that. Another thing is probably our mannerisms. The way we move, the way we sort of shift in our bodies is who we are. We can't necessarily change or control those things about our lives, nor should we be consumed about little things that we do in that way. Our speech and our appearance, those are things that we probably should just be comfortable with, not worried about it, not trying to make changes in those ways. But if our choices and behavior are hurting other people, if we kind of get into spots in life where we kind of do downward spirals, or if we feel stuck, if we're not making progress in our spiritual lives, or if our relationships aren't getting better and stronger, maybe we need to make some changes there. Maybe we shouldn't be accepting of those difficulties that are in our lives, those things that we maybe should adjust and change. So let me then move on to God's offer of transformation. Sometimes I think that we don't really give God enough credit for what he intends to do in our lives. It could be that we just get comfortable. We say things are just the way they are. They don't need to get any better. You know, we just accept everything as it is. But that limits God's ability to transform your life, doesn't it? Even though you came to Christ and maybe fixed a whole lot of aspects of who you are and your lifestyle, God's always working on us, isn't he? He's always trying to make us more like him. How does that transformation take place? Let's take a look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Probably, once again, another familiar passage for many of you. But let's take a look, and I'll pull out a few phrases to dive deeper into this morning. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes to the Roman church, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. A key phrase that I want to pull out from the very first verse is the "in view of God's mercy" phrase. If you've done a study of Romans, you'll know it's a very lengthy book with very heavy, heavy theology and thought process that go into it. And Paul spends the first 11 chapters discussing God's grace and mercy. That's what he's been talking about for 11 chapters of the book. After this little phrase, these two verses here of verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12, Paul then shifts focus from theology to talking about practical Christian living, how we are to live our lives. Paul says, in view of God's mercy, meaning now that we've looked at God's grace and mercy, this is what we should do. We've spent the last 4 weeks talking specifically about different aspects of God's mercy. We've been talking about God's grace and how he's fixed what is broken in our spiritual lives. We've talked about justification from Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Justification being that act of God where he has taken away our sin and we stand before the Lord justified, meaning he has declared us not guilty in his sight, so that when we stand before the Lord, there is not a single blemish or sin that he sees. We stand perfect in his sight, justified. Next week, we talked about reconciliation, how God fixed the relationship between he and us so that it is exactly the way God wanted it to be from the beginning. It is where God wanted it and intended it to be. We have a restored, renewed relationship with God just as it was intended. 2 weeks ago, we talked about propitiation, which is a fancy word that simply means that our sins have been taken care of and blotted out. They no longer stand as an impediment in our relationship. And last week, we talked about regeneration, how God has created us anew, given us new birth, a spiritual new birth in our lives. We are part of that recreation, new creation that Jesus intended for us. All these parts are part of understanding, and there's so many more, about this mercy that God has shown us. Now that we've seen it, now that we've reviewed it and talked about God's mercy, we need to find ways to now put that into practice. How that makes our lives different. Paul then moves on to talking about renewing your minds. Renewing your minds. Renewing simply means renew. You have to get your brain to think new thoughts and doing things in a new way, right? Renew it means you got to change the old stuff and get the old stuff out and get the new stuff in. Thinking of a good illustration, but I am old, and I was going to talk about computers, which no one has anymore. So we'll move on. See, that's old thoughts stuck in my brain. So getting the old stuff and old way of thinking out and thinking the new thoughts and the new things that will change our lives and move us into the right, more healthy directions in our relationship with God. So as we're thinking about the things that need to change in our thought process and where our thoughts, we might be tempted to think that the mind that Paul is talking about here is simply learning to simply limited to information. That if we just know more facts, that accomplishes what he's talking about. But that's not fully what Paul means. When Paul talks about our minds, he means also the way we think and the attitudes that we also have towards things of God. Sometimes we have plenty of information. It's our attitudes that stink sometimes, right? conforming and changing those aspects of our lives is what Paul's talking about here. Let me use a little example, kind of in depth, but I think you'll get the point and see the picture. So when different people think about Scripture, they have different attitudes and ways that they think about God's Word. There are some people in the church and outside of the church who will think about God's Word, the Bible, as being a good book. They will often call it that, the good book. And what that often means for those people is that they see the Bible as a collection of really good things to read and advice about life. And so when it comes to practical terms, many of those people who just think about the Bible as a good book will put it on the level of other good books. They will put it on the same level as, you know, advice columns and self-help books and old books that we still read sometimes because we like them. And they think about it as simply a good book on par with other books. That's an attitude that they have towards Scripture. It's a way they think about it. But there is a higher and deeper way to think about God's Word, the Bible, and that is precisely that, that it is God's Word, that it is from Him, that He has transmitted these truths to us. That higher level understanding of God's Word is more accurate to what it really is. It is God's Word given to us, and it is full of truth. It is all truth. And so people will then think about God's Word as being above and better than anything else any human being has ever written, that it is perfectly true and accurate. But that's not the highest or most important way to think about God's Word. Because many people who review, who think about the Bible as being true and written, you know, given by God, will also say that it's for the past. It's something long ago, written many years ago, that no longer matters for our lives, even though it is true. The highest and best attitude that we can have towards Scripture is that it is not just true, it is true truth. That it is perfectly true and relevant for our lives now and today. That is the highest and most correct, appropriate way to think about God's Word. It's not merely a good book like other books, nor is it just truth about things that God said long ago. It is true truth about our lives now. You can see in that illustration the different attitudes people have towards just one aspect of our faith and relationship with God. Multiply that times all the different teachings and truths and ways that God wants us to think about our lives. And you see that God is wanting us to change not only our thoughts and understanding, but our attitudes about things. And so as we do that about our understanding of salvation and grace and our relationship to God, it has the ability to mold and shape and change who we are. When we renew our minds, we are not merely getting more information. We're changing the very way that we think and how then followed up with what we live. This change of thought, this change in thinking, takes time. It's not something that happens usually overnight. It's something that has a beginning and a middle and an end. And usually the beginning of the process is that you come across a verse. And you say, you know, that verse so applies to my life and I don't really like live it well. I need to like put it into practice. And the very first thing that you probably should do is memorize that verse. If there is a verse that you're looking at and going, you know, that speaks to me, but I fall short of that, I probably should memorize it. Another way that that thought process begins to shift is in conversation or reading another book. If you have a conversation with a friend, a pastor, a counselor, or you're reading a book that kind of speaks to that truth in God's word, it can make you realize that you've misunderstood something really important. That beginning is not the end. Just because you memorized the verse, or just because you realized that you missed something and you need to make changes, just because you realized it or memorized a verse doesn't mean that you now have figured it out, does it? Nope. There's got to be other things that happen. Usually in the middle of the process of change, you start to have feelings on the inside that go along with the thought processes. You might have more joy or hope. Maybe you realize that all of a sudden you're thinking differently about God and what he's doing, and all of a sudden you feel like you have added strength in your life to face a challenge. Maybe you have more love for people that you didn't feel love towards before. You notice those feelings are changing on the inside to match the thought process and God's will that you already know. But that too is not the final step in the process. In renewing our minds, it's like we're planting seeds and growing plants, and it's not until the fruit arrives that you realize that it's full grown. And so when this thought process change has fully bloomed in a certain area of your life, you'll realize that your reactions towards others now change. It's not just the feelings that have shifted, but now you react towards others and circumstances with more kindness, with grace, with more peace. The renewing of our minds is not just about the thoughts we think, but also about the feelings and behaviors and reactions that we also have towards things in our world. The last phrase that I want to focus on is the one where Paul writes that we will then be able to test and approve what God's will is. And I want to focus on this one because I think we can kind of jump to the wrong conclusions when we read those words. If we're testing and approving God's will, we need to understand what that testing and approving means. Sometimes people can walk away from reading that verse and they can think that if they're testing and approving, then they're the ones who are saying or stamping their approval on what they think God's will is. That does not what God means in his word. Let me kind of try to break that down for you here. So, when you were in school, if you could remember back that far, some of you were teachers, and so it hasn't been that long, but whenever you're giving a test as a teacher or receiving a test as a student, the purpose of that test is to find out what the student knows. You're testing them to find out what they know. Similarly, maybe if you're in like construction or something like that, you have to test like a metal or a concrete to see if it meets the standards that you're looking for. You want to see what it's made out of. That's another way to think about it. The other aspect is that it's not us who are being tested in this verse. Sometimes we talk about difficulties in our lives, about God testing us. It's like God's seeing what we're made out of, seeing what we know when we go through a difficulty about how we handle it. No, in this verse, it's us testing God. That's a funny thought, isn't it? Us testing God. What Paul is saying here is that when we put when we renew our minds and are thinking these new thoughts, these new biblically correct, God-oriented thoughts, that it is now going to show off God's will. It's testing it in the sense of not, yeah, I've got myself all wrapped up now, don't I? We're going to show what God's will is, like a student shows what they know on a test. We are going to show with our lives what God's will is. Let me jump to my illustration, which I think made a little bit better sense. This went off so much better during the first service at the lake. All right, follow me here. Whenever you're trying to put a screw in to a wall, you've got your screw, you got your power drill, and you have your bit that has to match and go in between. So the screw, I have, like, at home, I probably have like 5 or 6 kinds of screws that I could probably use to fix some of the things that need to be fixed at the house right now. I have 5 or 6 of those sort of things, and they're all kinds of shapes. I've got the X pattern, I've got the line, I've got the square shape, I've got the star pattern. I probably got 1 or 2 others. I've got all kinds of screws that I can use. All my power drills that I would use are all kind of the same thing. As long as they got battery, they're fine. The bit that goes in between, though, man, I got like 30 of those. They come in all kinds of sizes and shapes. They're just all over the place. The way it works in our lives and with God's will is like this. God's kind of the power tool. Boop, 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 got the power. The bit is the part that's the will of God, and it's got a particular shape to it. It's got a particular shape that fits perfectly into a certain kind of screw. If the bit doesn't perfectly match, it's going to jump and skip, or it's just not even going to fit at all, right? What we are trying to do as believers is to be the right kind of screw, to be the right kind of screw that fits perfectly into God's will. So when the power gets driven and God's will is expressed, that it makes progress in our lives and drives the screw in. That's the test and approval of God's will. What shows that your life matches God's will is whether his power drives your life. Does that make sense? A little better? When we're renewing our mind, we're changing the kind of attachment that we are as a screw. We're refining ourselves so we better match the bit that's in the screw gun. There are some people's lives that don't match God's will at all. Their lives are a wreck and a fallen apart. Their spiritual lives, their moral lives are just a mess. And they make no momentum, no progress at all. Others of us match more closely. And so God's will catch and drive our lives more and more in a progressive way towards looking more like God's. As we renew our minds, as we think more biblically, that match between us and God's will is more accurate, and he drives our lives better. The proof, the evidence of what God's will is the progress our lives make spiritually. That when difficulties come up, we've learned how to handle them with grace and kindness. That our lives are more full of love, that we're more at peace, that our lives are defined by faith and not by fear. But it also applies to what we can say to others too. That we have the right words and the biblical things to say when people are in tough spots or need advice need direction. When we renew our minds, our lives match more with the way God is. And that drives our lives forward. God wants for us to have an abundant life. Jesus says so in his teaching and word. He wants us to live lives that are full of grace and hope and joy. That abundant life is more than just the physical things that we can own. For there are many people who are millionaires who just wish they had love and peace. Jesus' offer of abundant life can often be missed because we don't understand that God loves us. We don't understand that grace extends and covers all of our sin. But when we fully understand God and his word, then our minds can change and our lives produce the kind of abundant life that God offers. Let's pray. Lord, as we think about your word, we are encouraged here by Paul to change the way that we think. To think godly, biblical, wonderful thoughts. So that by our lives, others might also see that you are at work. Lord, help us as we spend our time and spend our days not to be complacent, not to just accept things as they are, but to spend the time to renew our thinking so that your will can be seen in our lives. Lord, as we pray and as we think about your will, help us to be instruments of that. Help us to be so aligned with your thoughts, with your word, that you choose to use us in wonderful ways. Lord, we ask your grace and mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.